Numbers 36, the last chapter of this book of Numbers, our title, Looking to the Future. A new generation, verse 1 to 9, and an obedient generation, verse 10 to 13. As we reach the close of the book of Numbers, we see there is a looking forward to the future as the details of the inheritance in the promised land was sorted out. Even the family of daughters were instructed the way forward, and the Lord gave the commandment, and the commandment was obeyed. This is the new generation that has been born in the wilderness and have now come of age and ready, and the Lord will bring them to conquer Canaan and inherit the land. For Zelophehad, the specific questions to be addressed were with regard to marriages and inheritance. In this, Ian Duggan, he observed well, he says, their obedience to the Lord stood in sharp contrast with their fathers, who wrongly united themselves with two Moabite women, because they failed to believe in the reality and the importance of the Lord's inheritance. Their fathers chose present satisfaction and pleasure along with perceived political and economic advantages over the promises of God, while their children chose the way of faith and obedience. The questions that we face may be different, excuse me, but the fundamental issue of faith versus sight is still the same. What questions address us with this same challenge? They are different for every person. For one, it may be the same issue of marriage that faced Zelophehad's daughters. Whom will you marry? And the Bible has one simple restriction. We are to marry in the Lord. We are not bound to marry someone from our own clan or tribe. Issues of culture, race, social, educational background, interest, taste are all secondary to marrying in Christ. This was the criteria that was given in the New Testament. To be sure, there may be issues to consider, but they are not necessarily impediments to a strong, healthy Christian marriage. Yet as a Christian, we must marry another Christian. This only makes sense, for how could one unite in the deepest level to someone whose fundamental allegiance is to another master? You are making two commitments that are at war with one another. And this principle we can see everywhere, especially amongst the believers in our midst, where there is a spouse that is not in the Lord. You see difficulty in worship, in the various aspects of life, in the family. One goes this direction, the other goes that direction. And so there's no true unity. That principle is simple, Ian Duggan further observed, and clear. Yet many young people face the temptation to date and ultimately to marry people who do not fit that single biblical criterion. Why is that? Thinking back on my own experience, he observed, is because something other than faith in the reality and importance of heavenly inheritance is driving our choices. We are being drawn to others by their physical or emotional attractiveness or by social and family pressures to find someone with whom to have a relationship. Heaven seems incredibly distant, especially when we are young, while the attractions of the present seem incredibly powerful. Yet if the heavenly inheritance that Christ died to win for us is truly all-important, then other motivations will be put in their proper place. If your eyes are fixed on your future inheritance, present obedience will make much more sense. For others of us at present different stages of life, the questions are rather different. Perhaps some may be struggling with peer pressure at school or at work. Perhaps materialism has a grip on your heart and your life revolves around what you own. Perhaps you find yourself overwhelmed with lust or romantic fantasies. The common thread in all of these temptations is that they offer immediate satisfaction and pleasure in exchange for disobedience to the Lord and turning back on your heavenly inheritance. And so here, the Lord wants us to see that in the history of Israel, there was one generation that did not follow the Lord. But the Lord did not forsake his people. His covenant with them continued to be effectual. And he raised a new generation that would be taught anew so that and hearts attuned to the voice of God. And so here is begun this question. Our text brings us to verse 1. And the chief of the fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near and spake before Moses and before the princes and the chief fathers of the children of Israel. The heads of the tribe of Manasseh came to Moses and the princes and concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, the family they belonged to was part of that half of the tribe of Manasseh that has yet to receive their lot within Jordan. You recall that for the tribe of Manasseh, before they entered the land, they were already allocated their inheritance. But because their number were more, so the land that was allotted to them before they crossed the Jordan was insufficient for the people. So there was to be distributed later on another plot of land that will be given after they cross the Jordan River. Of course, all these are futuristic, right? These are not issues that are not done yet, things that are has not occurred. But here are questions of faith, isn't it? Questions of faith. By faith, we act. By faith, we live, right? To a desired future according to God's word. And this was what the people in that half-tribe of Manasseh that has not received their inheritance did. So our text tells us, and they said, verse 2, the Lord commanded my Lord to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel, and my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance to Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters. And if they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers and shall be put to the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall it be taken from the lot of our inheritance. In order to preserve what God has given, what Matthew Henry calls the divine appointment of inheritance, they urge the command that the land should be given by lot to the respective tribes and urge that it would break in upon God's divine appointment if such a considerable part of the lot of Manasseh should, and by their marriage, be transferred to another tribe, for the issue would be denominated from the father's tribe and not the mother's. And so here is a thorny question, isn't it? A realistic one. And you realize that our Lord understands the intricacies. That is why when we were studying the book of Exodus, this last Lord's Day, you see how the Lord gave his laws to servants, how servants are to be treated, the law of servanthood, so that we know in our daily lives what we ought to do in relation to the people around us. And the Lord gives us and shows us the importance of certain relationships and how we are to look at things, how we are to weigh matters. Right? So when we take time to read and study the Word of God, the Lord grants us divine wisdom so that we may know how to order our lives aright. So here you see the lot to the daughters, no lesser, but render it less strong and considerate. Therefore, thought themselves concerned for the reputation of their tribe and perhaps was more jealous for it because it was already very much weakened by the sitting down of one of the tribe on the other side. So the tribe that will cross over from Manasseh realized that, hey, they had daughters. So what to do with the daughters? If they were to marry, where should they marry? If they marry outside the inheritance, then what will happen to the inheritance? And so the Lord had to teach us. And when we would go to the Lord, you would find that he would show us what is the best way forward in his word. And we would take time to study, you would take time to read, take time to meditate, take time to search. You would find that the Lord would show the way ahead to prevent contest and quarrels among posterity. If those of other tribes should come among them, perhaps it might occasion some contest. They would be apt to give and receive disturbance, and their title might, in the process of time, come to be questioned, and how great a matter would this fire kindle. So it is the wisdom and duty of those who have estates in the world to settle them and to dispose of them so that there no strife and contention would arise about them among posterity. An obedient generation, verse 10 to 13, verse 1 to 9, and verse 10 to 13. Even as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. For Machlah, Tirzah, and Hoglah, and Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married unto their father's brother's sons. And they married into the family of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their father. These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses unto the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. This new generation were obedient to the command of the Lord to Moses. They heeded the counsel of Moses and were willing to marry within the tribe, not to marry outside the tribe. This was the new generation that will go forth to inherit the promised land. They did not seek their own devices, but the counsel of the Lord. And most of all, they had to obey the Lord. They obeyed the Lord and walked in his ways. This is in stark contrast to the generation that came out of Egypt. They were rebellious and did not seek the Lord. Indeed, this is a generation that will make the conquest and will inherit the land. So at the brink of entering the land, this generation had the faith to believe that God will help them fulfill his covenant promise to his people to inherit the land. The life of faith is a life that God gives to us to understand and look and believe in the things, in the substance of things that are not seen. So here you see there is an anticipation to the future. You will notice that the tribe was well prepared as to what they are to do, and they did marry and choose spouses that are within the covenant family of God. They did not go out. They did not forsake the Lord. And indeed, we would be able to see in the history of Israel how the Lord prospered them. This is a generation that were obedient. Of course, in our prayer meeting, we were looking at the book of Judges. The generation that came after this generation, how they departed from the Lord. So you see, it matters a lot, isn't it? How we would treat God's word that is given to us. Would we have the faith to believe and trust him and to obey him and to serve him and to walk with him? This is God's way. And we thank the Lord that he did not leave us without guidance, without help, but he provided for us in a most miraculous, wonderful way, so that we know that we are a people of God and we have a heavenly inheritance that he has given us, that we would claim when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, a heavenly mansion for each one. May the Lord strengthen his people and help us to have a heavenly perspective and our heavenly inheritance, so that the things of this world would grow very dim, and we would have an eternal perspective to build for our eternal future. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for guiding us this days, months, even year, to study this book of Numbers. O Lord, we thank thee for the many lessons that we have learned out of thy holy word, and may thou help us to apply them in our lives for thy own honor and glory. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.